is going to be called to freedom. It's a phrase that takes on incredible importance when we consider what the apostle has said in Galatians, the fifth chapter. If you begin reading with me there in Galatians 5 at verse 1, the apostle says, Christ has liberated us to be free. Stand firm. Don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. So we're going to talk about this morning what this really means to us. You know, when we talk about this, we're talking about a from to proposition. We spent some time last week talking about slavery as it existed in the Roman Empire, the slavery that those folks would have been intimately familiar with. And it's a concept that's repeated so many times. It's used illustratively of the relationship that we have in Christ. We talked about the concept of manumission. You could become a freed person, even though you had been a slave. We talked a little bit about what that meant when you were a freed person. But you know, our experience sometimes keeps us from understanding the real impact of a from to kind of proposition. We're familiar with the failures of from to propositions. We're familiar with what happens so often in this broken world that we live in, that it's hard for us to understand really what this means. I want to think just a little bit about what happened when they tried to clear the slums in Washington. And I'm talking about Washington, D.C. There was a particular area in Washington, D.C. that was referred to as Southwest Washington. As early as the 1860s, and especially after the end of the Civil War, there were a lot of freed slaves that left the South and went north. Now, they began doing that even during the Civil War. Many of those freed slaves settled in Washington, D.C. That was the state, that was the national capital, and that was where they perceived that they would be able to find freedom if they could find freedom anywhere. Now, the way that Washington is laid out is really interesting. It's a grid plan. If you've ever been there, there are these wonderful grids that you can become familiar with in D.C. And these grids that were laid out allowed for really large lots. They weren't very deep on the street, but they went back a long way. Now, that grid plan also meant that you could have alleys that ran in between the streets. And what happened was the streets that the houses that fronted on the streets, they called them the street people. And the houses that fronted on the alleys, they called them the alley people. The street people did pretty well. The alley people didn't. In 1910, 37.5 out of every 1,000 children under 1 year old that lived in an alley died because of disease and because of unsanitary conditions. That was about twice the rate at which children under 1 year old died if you were a street person, if you were a street resident. The conditions in the alleys were terrible. In 1952, That's the year I was born. Those conditions really had only gotten worse. 1952, 43% of the alley houses, not the street houses, the alley houses had no indoor toilet. In Washington, D.C., we're not talking about Appalachia. We're talking about Washington, D.C. 27% had no inside running water. That's what it looked like. 70% of those houses had no indoor heating, no central heating of any kind. Well, they decided that they had to do something about that. People couldn't live in that kind of squalor, and they had to get them out of that. There had to be something done to move us from that horrible condition. So urban renewal began, and they demolished 99% of those existing living units. 1,500 businesses were displaced. 23,000 residents lost their houses. They demolished those houses because they had to do something. They wanted to move those people to something better. But what happened was most of those people that lost their houses when they raised the slums couldn't afford the rents in the buildings that they built to replace them. And so they didn't have anywhere to live. From was bad. You had to get out of that. Everybody knew that. To didn't work. And you know, we're familiar with that. We're so impressed by that, that sometimes we forget that biblically, there's a lot of from and to. If you think about it, God has always been in the from and to business. And it's an amazing from and to. It's not like what we have that we've seen so many times before. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 1, God said some interesting things about from and to. And in this place, he's talking about moving from debt to forgiveness. Now, listen to the way that he says it. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. All of the debts were canceled. This is how it's to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they've made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people because the Lord's time for canceling debt has been proclaimed. Understand, this is not paying off the debts. This is not saying that you can only have a debt for 7 years and at the end of 7 years, you must have paid it off. This is saying it's forgiven. It's not paid off. It's a completely new lease on life. How many of us would like to know that after 7 years, all of our debts could be forgiven? Ron's raising his hand. I'm sure everybody could raise their hand for that one. Not that way anymore. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, continues. At verse 12, you read this. If you were in the military, you were released from the military service so that you could attend a family life. Deuteronomy 15, at beginning of verse 12. If any of you people, Hebrew men or Hebrew women, sell themselves to you and serves you for six, excuse me, what I got ahead of myself here. I should be talking about a release from slavery. This is Deuteronomy 15. Now I'm reading in the right place. Beginning at verse 12. if any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year, you must let them go. When you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That's why I give you this command today. But if your servant says to you, I don't want to leave you, because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then take it all and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he'll become your servant for life. Do the same thing for your female servant. Don't consider it a hardship to set your servant free, because their service to you these 6 years has been worth twice as much as that of a hired hand. The Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. They didn't just set their slaves free every seventh year. They gave them the ability to decide whether they wanted to be set free. What a blessing. They didn't just set him free and say, go and be well. They set him up so that he would be successful as a freed person. They gave him of their flocks and all of the things that they had prospered during the time of their service. And he says he was worth twice as much as a hired hand. Again, you could be released from military service. Now I'll get to where I want to be. Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 5, God says, if a man has recently married, he must not be sent to war or have any other duty laid on him. For 1 year, he is to be free to stay at home and bring happiness to the wife that he has married. Anybody military? I know Matt is. Matt's at least guard. Some of you have been in the military. I never was. Some of you have been in the military. You know, that can be a rugged way to have to live. But he says, for a year, you're released to family life, freed from military service. Now, understand, that didn't mean that because you were freed from military service, you got to do whatever you wanted to do. You could go fishing and hunting, and you could do all the things that you wanted to do. He says, no, you can be freed from military service to be committed to your wife. So from and to really involves quite a bit. Jed's been talking with us about Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, at verse 10 beginning, Jeremiah says the Israelites were to be freed from exile. And yes, we know that that exile was terrible in some ways. In other ways, it wasn't all that bad. But they could be released to restoration. So from exile to restoration. Jeremiah 29, beginning at verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise and bring you back to this place. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you because, let me take a break here for just a minute, they had not kept the covenant that they made with God. And so God had banished them, but he says, I will bring you back from the nations and places where I banished you. and I will bring you to the place from which I carried you to exile. The clear emphasis here is something that God is doing. We looked last week at Acts, the 22nd chapter, verse 28. You remember how Paul has a conversation with Lysias? And Lysias says, I've bought my freedom at great price. And he was proud of it. And Paul says, I was freeborn. I am a Roman citizen. The parallel is obvious. Jesus paid a great price for us on the cross. And now we get to be citizens. Romans, the 6th chapter. Beginning at verse 18, the apostle says that we've been freed from sin to righteousness. Now, remember, we're not talking about a promise that's like the promise that they made to the slaves when they freed them during the Civil War. You'll get 40 acres and a mule, which never materialized for most of them. This is a promise that God kept and continues to keep. Romans 6, verse 18, you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example, Paul says, from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, now, he says, offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. That's interesting. Hold on to that thought. He explains it this way. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. And the benefit that you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. You know, and when Paul describes the awful broken state of the world at the end of chapter 1, he says God gave them up to do those things that are not convenient. They rejected God. And they did things they didn't even want to do. I have never in my life met a heroin addict who wanted to be a heroin addict. They're free of anything that would bring them good benefit. They're living in squalor. And God says, you can be free of that. They were freed from the old covenant so that they could participate in the new covenant. Romans 7, Paul says, do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband so long as he's alive. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband's still alive, she's called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. And then again, he returns to that idea of benefit. When we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit to death. Now, by dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And we're going to talk about that a great deal as we continue through 2021 talking about called to freedom. And then I suppose the most encouraging statement that we can think about with a from to perspective is a statement that Paul makes in Romans 8. We've been called from corruption to glory. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation wails in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be limited from its bondage to decay and brought to the freedom and glory of the children of God. I can escape corruption, and I can come from slander to good deeds. 1 Peter, the second chapter. Peter says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of wrongdoing, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. It is God's will by doing good that you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Let us free people live as free people. But don't use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Again, a concept that we'll talk about further. So look forward. Real freedom, really understanding slavery, and understanding the from and to concept means that we realize where we were, and we're thankful to be free of it. We are thankful that we can go on to something better. We don't have to stay in the darkness. You know, it strikes me that a law approach that focuses on law and doing what's right ignores the fact that we're free. Think about this for a minute. If you knew that you were going to live 10 more years, no questions asked, you weren't going to get in an accident, you weren't going to contract some deadly disease, you weren't going to fall off your roof and kill yourself, you knew without a doubt that you were going to live 10 years. Would you wait 9 years and 11 months to get yourself right with God? If you live a law life, you would. If you live a free life, that concept just doesn't appeal to you at all. Would you choose to live in squalor and not choose to be free? Well, I choose to be free. I don't have to stay in darkness. And it also means we'll voluntarily never go back to where we were. James, cancer free. Would you ever voluntarily choose to go back? If we're free in Christ, it's inconceivable that somebody would choose to go back to slavery. I wouldn't. I don't think anybody would. I know Jane wouldn't go back to being a cancer victim. What a great blessing. Called to freedom. It's almost more than we can imagine. And you know why that is? It's because we're familiar with a lot of promises that were made but never kept. God makes promises and he always keeps them. If you want to get away from squalor, if you want to get away from just being a slave to sin, and you want to come to Jesus and let him give you freedom, then do that. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't think, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Go back to living in my hovel. I'll be happy there. Once you're exposed to freedom, you can't be happy there. We want you to let us know if there's something we can do to help you. We'll talk to you about this wonderful life that we found in Christ, and we'll tell you how you can have it too. But that's what we want you to think about. If you're joining us from home on Zoom and you want to reach out to somebody here, always know that you can reach out. We have people that are joining us on Zoom that we sometimes don't know. And we want you to know as well that you can reach out to us, because that's what we're here for.